Good morning.
Just a quick update. I debated if I should share it during sharing time, but as of Thursday, in-home visitation started back in Department of Corrections. And if I understand correctly, starting this coming weekend, normal visitation will be starting, going on, continuing. And the word that we had gotten earlier was when that starts, our chances of going back in go up dramatically. So just continue to pray for that. And hopefully that will happen soon. This morning, we are going to have a different message. If I can get my computer to cooperate. We're going to start with a video that is produced by an organization called One for Israel. And this video talks about the significance of the events taking place of Mary and Joseph ending up in Bethlehem and specifically at Ephrata. It's not pronounced that way. The man pronounces it right. He is a Jewish man that is doing it. So Brock will need to turn the volume up just a little extra. You will need to pay close attention because he does have a thick accent. And it talks about the significance of specifically where they had to go, where they ended up, and where they ended up, where the baby ended up being born. Even the significance of the swaddling clothes. And this is taken from Jewish history. So hopefully it will kind of give us a starting point for what we are going to do. And then we have quite a few scripture that we're going to have read this morning. Some of you have been given a piece of paper with a scripture on it, and we're going to go through that. And once we start, we will just continue to go right through it. There are some songs mixed in that Brian has ready that we will do some singing as well. So, Brock, if you would go ahead and start the video.
It was in this field the shepherds received news of the greatest gift ever given to mankind. Most of you know the story of our Messiah's birth over 2,000 years ago, how our Savior, the King of Kings, took on flesh, born of Mary, and laid in a manger. I'm sure this holiday season feels unlike any other we've ever experienced. This year has been full of unexpected challenges and disappointments, uncertainty and loss. And as the world remembers and celebrates the birth of our Messiah, I can't help but think of what Mary and Joseph were experiencing in this time. Imagine the stress they faced as the time of Yeshua's birth drew near, already facing social stigma at home, then to get news that they were required by Roman law to travel over 90 miles on foot over mountains and treacherous terrain from the north of Israel to Bethlehem. This was not a simple journey. They were faced with threats of raiders, flash floods, and unpredictable weather. I know how nervous I was when the time came for our first son to be born. Before birth, every mom works tirelessly to prepare way for the baby to have an easy and comfortable entry. Try to imagine bearing the promised Messiah and being thrown into such a devastating turn of events as a pregnant woman. But from our vantage point in history, what seemed to be a disastrous turn for Mary and Joseph worked out to fulfill prophecy and give glory to God. I know there's been times in my life where I couldn't understand why things were happening the way they were, only to look back years later to see God's plan in the midst of my trial. So let's ask ourselves, if the decree from Caesar never occurred, would Mary and Joseph have traveled to Bethlehem? So clearly, this trial turned out to perfectly fulfill prophecy. But why did the Messiah need to be born in Bethlehem? Let's turn to Micah 5:2, which reads, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from the old, from everlasting." Also in Micah 4:8 we read, "In you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem." So the future king, the Messiah, will be from not just the town of Bethlehem, but much more specifically, Bethlehem Ephrathah, the agricultural zone in Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock. Eusebius, the bishop of Caesarea during the 4th century, wrote in his book, and I quote, "Migdal Eder was located 1 Roman mile east of Bethlehem." And it's here, due east across from the valley of Bethlehem, that we find the ruins of the Tower of the Flock mentioned by Micah. But what was this Tower of the Flock about? And why did the Messiah need to be born in an agricultural zone of Bethlehem? This was the field of David, but much deeper than being David's stomping ground was what David set up here as the king of Israel. As David set his heart to bring the tabernacle to Jerusalem and later make preparations for the temple, he set in order this field to raise the sacrificial flock for the priests. He gave his ancestral land to be dedicated to this special flock, the most looked after field in all of Israel. You can see more of these shepherd's tower here than anywhere else in the world. But why so many towers? Because the shepherds were not raising your average sheep. If a bone was broken or any blemish at all was found, the lamb was considered unkosher for sacrifice. They had to perfectly guard these sheep. The shepherds who received the announcement from heaven were the very same ones in charge of the Passover lamb. How amazing that it was these very shepherds that looked after Yeshua that holy night. Our Passover lamb, Yeshua the Messiah, was placed in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes, not just in any random site, not just to show the humble entry of the Messiah to the earth, but to foreshadow the work he was sent to do. Those words in Luke's gospel, spoken to the shepherds, were bursting forth with deep meaning. According to rabbinic tradition, the priest would come every high holy day from Jerusalem to Migdal Eder, the priestly tower of the flock, to inspect the lamb before the big day. They would place the lamb in a manger, and after inspection, the lamb would be wrapped in swaddling cloth and brought to Jerusalem for the sacrifice. They wrapped the lamb instead of leading it along as to ensure that nothing would happen to the lamb in transit to the temple. If the lamb wriggled out of the priest's hand, that Passover would be ruined. So there was no room for chance. So Yeshua, born in the agricultural center foretold by Micah, because he was to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, he was wrapped in the same swaddle and laid in the manger, looked after by the same shepherd that raised and cared for the Passover and atonement sacrifices. We can see this beautiful tapestry of prophecy fulfilled in our time, but I'm sure that in the moment, Mary and Joseph were just trying to make the best of an extremely difficult trial. They probably were struggling with doubt and fear, but God was weaving through their trials a story of redemption and salvation, of the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. So my prayer for you is that you see the faithfulness of God in this season, that in this difficult time, God may be writing a beautiful story of redemption through your trial. And I pray you are encouraged with this beautiful story of God's amazing love.
If this touched your heart, will you help pay it forward so that others can hear the same message of life? Partner with our team to bring the gospel.
I thought it was really significant, the swaddling clothes and the significance in how the shepherds would take the lambs and do that very same thing, and how
to Israel and the nations.
Jesus, as the sacrifice, was swaddled. It wasn't just something to keep him warm. It was something to protect him. What we're going to do is go through scriptures, and they are, we actually did this a long time ago, in 2014, according to my records. And we're going to go through the story of the birth of Jesus, go through the story of starting in John chapter 1. And then I'm going to be doing a good bit of reading this morning myself. This thing will work. It did not do what I need it to do. Hang on. So those of you that have papers, in the bottom left-hand corner is a number. And when you see that number on the screen, actually, I'm going to be reading the first three scriptures. And then, hang on, I can't get my screen to work right. I've got to see my notes or I'll be in trouble. Well, maybe we'll do it without notes then. Okay. There we got notes. Hopefully you can't see them. All right. We're going to be starting with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. They're going to be on the wall. And then when you see that your number's coming up, Caitlin will be number 4, and then I think Atlee is number 5. The ushers will bring you a microphone. So if you are number 6, just put your hand up when Caitlin is done, and then they'll bring you a microphone. That way we can keep it moving without stopping. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. And after this one will be the first song, will be 112 in the Christian hymnary. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious.
I think the first and the last verse, 112, I'm not sure if you look at it and it doesn't seem right to you. For me, the words of one song and the tune of another. It's the tune of Noel, Noel, but it'll come. Maybe I'm the only one. Oh, God.
Jeremiah 33:14 through 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to come to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Luke 1:5-10. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zacharias who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blameless. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the temple worshippers were praying outside.
An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people."
Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Matthew 1:18-20. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Let's back up and say, verse 19, first, the last verse again.
Luke 1:39-45. At that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord shall come to me?" As soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.
Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Micah 5:2-5. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of his name, of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. And then, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Deliverance and destruction, and he will be their peace. And when the Assyrian invades our land and marches through our fortresses, we will raise up against him 7 shepherds and even 8 leaders of men."
In those days, Luke 2:1-7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was a governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke 2:8-20. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, the shepherds and the angels." But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I think we got two slides mixed together there. So let's sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem was with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Matthew 2, verses 19 to 23. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." John 14, John 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace." I want to close with these thoughts on this verse. There are three things here that I want us to see. Two things. First, Jesus became human and he lived among us. Number one, he is the perfect teacher. If you go to Philippians 2, I believe it's in verse 5. No, it's actually let me just read it. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The second thing, the second point in this verse, is he shows us how to live and gives us power to live that way. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." The third one is he is the perfect sacrifice. Notice I used the word "is" in every one of them. He was not, he is. And he today is still the perfect sacrifice for you and I. The last song we're going to sing is "Joy to the World," and then we're going to take that as our closing. So you can stand and sing this song, and then we'll be dismissed.